We are in Genesis chapter 10. Previously, we looked at Genesis 9 and we elaborated four foundational points. And if you were writing down these things, you'll remember that the four foundational points we talked about last Lord's Day are the source of all blessings is God. And then we talked about the sacred purpose for marriage is reiterated in chapter 9, reviving the idea that marriage is from God and it demonstrates and showcases God's love for His bride, the church. And then we also talked about the sanctity of life, founded upon the fact that man is created in the image of God. And then fourthly, the establishment of human government to sustain the flourishing of humans. Today we are in Genesis 10, and we'll read several verses here. And allow me to take the liberty to make some comments along the way. And so as I read my comments, I want you to put your thinking caps on once again just pay attention to the comments that I'll have for you there. Okay, what you see there is a map of the descendants of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, where they went. The purple there is Shem. The orange there are the descendants of Ham. And the green there are the descendants of Japheth. But let's look at Genesis chapter 10. Verse number 1. Now, these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and unto them were the sons born after the flood. Verse 2. And the sons of Japheth, Gomer and Magog, and Madai, and Javan, and Tubal, and Meshech, and Tiraz. Now Japheth literally means fair or light. Fair or light. He would be the father of the Caucasoid, the Indo-European, Indo-Germanic peoples. And I'm going to read names here. And through research and the allowance of the progression of the names over years, over time, you will notice that this will be where the peoples of today came from. For example, Gomer, Germans, Crimeans, Magog, Scots, Russians, Belarusians, Ukrainians, Chechens, Hungarians, Madai, Medes, Persians, Iranians, Kurds, Romanis, Afghanistanis, Pakistanis, Azerbaijan, Kazakhstan, Turkmenistan, Tubal, Tubolsk, Siberians, Irish, Spanish, Meshek, Mezek, Meshwesh, Meshi, Meshira, Mush, Mushki, Mushku, Mushkoi, Mushku, Moscow, the Muscovites, the Latvians, the Lithuanians, the Romanians, and others, Tiraz, Tirasians, Thracians, Thrace, Troas, Troia, Troy, well, Troy, there's your ancestor. Trajan, Trojan, Scandinavians, Vikings, Swedes, Norwegians, Danes, Icelandics, Baltics. And then verse 3 says this, and the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, and Riphath, and Togarmah. The Armenians to this day call themselves the house of Thorgum or Thorkomatsi. And then verse 4, and the sons of Javan, Elisha, and Tarshish. Tarshish, by the way, is believed to be Spain. So the Spaniards right there. Kittim and Dodanim. And these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands. everyone after his tongue and after their families in their nations. Talking about Ashkenaz, when the Ashkeni, listen to this, arrived in northern Europe, they named the land Ashkenia after themselves, which later translated Scandia, then Scandinavia. Later in history, we find the Ashkeni being referred to as the Sakasinoi, which became Saxon, and finally, Saxon. The Saxons played a large part in European and English history. Ashkenaz has been one of the most well-preserved names throughout European history. And so then, on the next slide there, write down on the margin of your Bible, after this passage here, please excuse me, the Japhethites became the Indo-European nations. Japhet's descendants became the Indo-European nations. Verse number 6. And the sons of Ham, Cush, and Mitzrayim, and Phut, and Canaan. Okay? Ham literally means passionate, hot, burnt, or dark. And he is the father of the Australoid, the Negroid, and the Mongoloid people groups. Just wanted to add a personal anecdote here. I was assigned as an optometrist assistant in Okinawa, Japan, while I was working with the United States Navy in 2002, between 2002 and 2002. And I was in this hospital clinic, it was in this medical clinic, and here comes Sergeant Ham, a Marine sergeant. And all I could see is his eyes and his teeth because he's so black. And I shook his hand and I said, well, it's good to meet you, Sergeant Ham. My name is, you know, Petty Officer Torres, and I'm here to help you with your optometry things. And he was just grinning at me, and I said, and I said to him, do you know that name, Ham? He says, oh, yeah. I know that name, Ham. That name, he said to me, comes from Noah. Noah's Ham. And I said to him, we did our work there, and we just conversing, and I said, I'd be interested if you're able to trace back where you came from. I said, oh, yeah, I can. I go all the way back to Egypt. Go all the way back to Egypt. And if you look at that, Mitzrayim, you know, that's the name for Egypt. The Egyptians, the Kemets, the Copts, Phut, the derivations of that name, Phut, Putia, Libya. So you got your Libyans there and the Cyrenaicians, Tunisians, Somalians, Sudanese, and North Africans. And then verses 15 and 17, 15 through 17, Genesis chapter 10. Canaan begat Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites, and the Girgashite, and the Hivite, and the Arkite, and the Sinite. Sinite coming from Sin, right? Sin, S-I-N. Not sin, but sin like sin. Okay? So listen to this. Canaan, his sons were Heth, the Hittites, Sin, Sinites, or China, Sidon, Phoenicians, and others, including Mongols, Asians, Orientals, Chinese, Tibetans, Taiwanese, Thais, Vietnamese, Laotians, Cambodians, Japanese, Eskimos, American Indians, Malaysians, Indonesians, Filipinos. I'm a ham. Yes, I'm a Hamite, right? From Canaan. Hawaiians, Maoris, Polynesians, Tahitians, Guamanians, Samoans, Fijians, Tongans, Tokelauans, Tuvaluans, Pacific Islanders, and related groups. There is one significant feature concerning the likely mode of origin of Chinese civilization, the place most closely associated by the Chinese themselves with the origin of their civilization is the capital of Xianxi, namely Xiangfu, or Father Xin. That's what they call their father, the Father Xin. Okay? Look at verse number 20. By the way, let me just interject here. The Chinese, did you know that they have a tradition that their first king, Fu He or Fo He, that's their Chinese Noah, made his appearance on the mountains of Xin, was surrounded by a rainbow after the world had been covered with water. This is in the Chinese tradition legend. And sacrificed animals to God. What does that story correspond to? Yes, Genesis chapter 9. Okay, well, 6, 7, and 8, and 9. Sin, Father Sin himself, was the third generation from Noah, a circumstance which would provide the right time interval for the formation of early Chinese culture. In addition, the Miao tribe of the southwest China had a tradition similar to the Genesis account, even before they met Christian missionaries. According to their tradition, God destroyed the whole world by a flood because of the wickedness of man, and Noah, the righteous man, and his wife, their three sons, Lo Han, that's Ham, Lo Shin, that's Shem, and Jehu, that's Japheth, survived by building a very broad ship and taking on it pairs of animals. Now look at verse number 20. These are the sons of Ham, after their families and after their tongues in their countries and in their nations. So right down next to that, next to verse 20, the Hamites became the Asian, African, and Australian nations. Now, on to verse 21. Verse 21. Unto Shem also, the father of all the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth, the elder, even to him were children born. Look at verse 22. And the children of Shem, Elam, and Ashur, and Arphaxad, and Lud, and Aram. Now, Shem literally means renown. He is the father of the Semitic people groups. Elam, the Elamites, the Persians, the Ashurs, the Assyrians, the northern Iraqis, Arphaxad, or the Chaldeans, and the southern Iraqis, Hebrews from Iber or Iberu, Israelites, the Jews, Arabians, Bedouins, the Moabites, the Jordanians, Palestinians, Lud, Lydians, and other related groups in Asia Minor, that's modern-day Turkey, and North Africa, the Arams, the Arameans, Syrians, Lebanese, and remnant groups throughout Asia, the Middle East, and North Africa. And of course, number three there, right down next to your verses 22 there, Shem became the father of the Semitic people groups. Shem became the father of Semitic people groups. And then let me read to you verses 31 and 32. These are the sons of Shem, after their families, after their tongues, in their lands, after their nations. These are the families of the sons of Noah, after their generations, in their nations. And by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. Okay, let me give you two practical ideas about what we just went over. And I know there's a lot of material here. Number one, we can trust the Bible. We can trust the Bible. Genesis 10 of the Bible has been found completely accurate, resulting partly from linguistic studies, partly from archaeology, and more recently still from the findings of physical anthropologists who are to this day recovering important clues to line of migration in ancient historic times. We can trust the Bible. Number two, here it is. Practical thought that you get out of this is that we are all cousins. We're all related. I want you to write down Acts 17:26 next to Genesis 10:32. Acts 17:26. Okay? And let's go there. Acts 17:26. The book of Acts was written by Dr. Luke, and he was a meticulous historian. And he writes these words. Of course, inspired by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, to write these words as well, so that what he wrote are the words of God. Acts 17:26. All right, what does it say? And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. What does it say? Hath made of one blood all nations. All right? You can trace your ancestors all the way to one of the three sons of Noah, as I have. And so, yes, we can trust the Bible. And these names are there, not just to put you to sleep when you read them, but because God put it there for a reason, and that is to have a record of the chronology of our ancestry. It all goes back to there. All right? And then we are all related. Every human being today is your cousin. And so the question for us today is this: do you love your neighbor? You should. Why? Because that's your relation. That's your relative. That's family. Do you love your neighbor as your family? If so, then it is incumbent upon us to pray for their salvation, to work towards the good of their spiritual welfare. And as a church, we should do everything we can to help in the missions effort, both here and abroad, for the propagation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's close in a word of prayer.